Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Thank you for spending your lunch break with us, as always, and welcome in to Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. I'm your host, Joe Perrello of SweetSports.com. That's S-U-I-T-E, sports.com. I'm joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bob Lavelle. And, Bob, we've got some playoff baseball to talk. Just mentioning to you off the air, we don't get to talk Terry Francona coming back to Boston. That would have been a really, really fun storyline, but you know, you'll take playoff baseball either way, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it really would have been a whole lot more fun playing Francona and the Indians than it's going to be playing Tampa Bay. But you know what? We know Tampa. We know the deal. That's why it's kind of the same old story. But it still is postseason baseball, and it does have some magic to it, for sure. And you know, yeah, I think having Francona would have been great, but I think we all knew that that was a long shot.
Yeah, well, it's tough in, you know, those one-game scenarios. You never know. We just saw the Indians go down. They don't score a run against Tampa at home. We saw the Pirates the other night move in, defeating the Reds, so they'll move into the NL wild card spot. I'm still getting used to this whole play-in game kind of thing, but, you know,
yeah,
you mentioned Tampa Bay. They know the deal. It's this is a familiar foe for the Red Sox, to say the least.
You know, Tampa, let's take it from Tampa's side. They're like a group of road warriors. They're like on, I think John Farrell said it's like a barnstorming tour, but hey, they're a team without a home. They do have a home.
Yeah.
It's a despicable ballpark that not many, that doesn't have many fans. So they're really, you know, it's easy to motivate them as a barnstorming team without a home that's just going around the country playing games. We'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere. That kind of mentality. This is so different from the regular season for a team like Tampa because of the way the schedule is. So now, you know, I can see where they could just be loosey-goosey vagabonds playing ball all over the country, one day of rest in between. Okay, who's next? What city is it? And then they all have to do is worry about playing ball. And I think it's going to serve them well, and I think it might serve them well in this series. Unfortunately, I think we're all hoping the Indians were going to be the opponent. these guys are a lot better than I think their season record indicated.
Yeah, and they're always one of the lower-paid teams in baseball and still somehow find ways to win, find ways to sneak into the playoffs. Against Boston this year, the Red Sox were 12-7 against them, and they did win two out of their last three to kind of put the division to rest and kind of make sure that the Rays were only in the wild card conversation and not in the American League East championship conversation. Buchholz had a great day against Price when they shut him out 2-0 way back in. Now it seems like forever ago, but it was less than a month ago in early September down in Tampa Bay. And you mentioned them not having the you know the greatest home field advantage down at the Trop. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's not in Tampa proper. It's Benson Pete. And, you know, the owners of the Rays kind of speak out every year about how they're going to have to cut salary and do all these different things. But when you look at the Rays, does that make them a little bit of a more dangerous team? Or are they kind of playing with house money right now? And the Red Sox were kind of that way earlier in the year, but now there's some expectations looming over this team.
That's a good point. I think, kind of been a big role reversal. I mean, Tampa, everybody thought Tampa was over and done with. We finally get them out of our hair and out of our psyche. But it's not true. Here they are. And they seem to be scoring enough runs to win and certainly getting pitching to win. So we'll see. I can't see this being any kind of a layup for the Red Sox. I think they're going to just have to earn it. I don't like the five-game series against these guys, but what are you going to do? I mean, it is what it is. There's just no there's no way out except through Fenway Park and beating Tampa, period.
And another thing about Tampa, they're red hot right now. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Bob.
No, they're red hot. The Red Sox didn't have, I don't think they had any, their pitchers did not have really significantly great outings in their last outing. But you know what? So much of this stuff, you try to take some historical perspective, and so much of the stuff you can just throw out the window, because in this game, it's one-on-one. It's batter versus pitcher, pitcher versus batter. And then and then we'll see. Lester over Moore, I don't know. Moore's going to be pretty tough. We all know the warts that Lester has. Lackey over Price. I think Price is their number two starter, right? Well, I'm not. Always hard to bet against Price, you know? But let's see what happens. I can't say I'm that confident. I'm not confident. I'm just not confident. Does that make any sense?
that does make sense. I think the entire city of Boston kind of is sharing your viewpoint here. I think it's a cautious optimism in this town right now. Cautious.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Cautious optimism. They've been here before. They know what fear of losing is all about. And I think that's in play right now. At least it is in me. I mean, I try to figure out what the fans are thinking, and this is the vibe I'm getting. You know?
Yeah.
If it was Cleveland, I'd feel a whole lot better about it.
Yeah. And playoff baseball is a whole different animal.
You know, so maybe the Red Sox will take three straight. Who knows? I mean, that's always possible. Always. Is it possible that Tampa will take three straight? Yeah, I think so, but I don't think that's likely.
Yeah, no, it's certainly going to be. I mean, I never try to get into predicting playoff baseball. I can't really.
No, it's crazy.
Wrap my head around
you
it.
You can say, okay, the Red Sox have had a better team during the season. There's no question about that. How that team performs in the postseason remains to be seen. If I were a Tampa Bay or a Tampa fan, I would really not be worried, because, like you said, they're playing with house money. They're relaxed.
Yeah.
They're barnstormers. They don't have a home, and the home they have kind of sucks, both from a facility and from fans. So, you know, they're comfortable where they are, winning and on the road and going from town to town. What a great message, inspirationally, that would be.
All right. Well, getting away from the barnstormers thing, which I really like. My sister lives in Tampa, and her boyfriend, I'll have to give them that line a little later. You mentioned Matt Moore. You mentioned David Price. They're the two announced starters for the Rays. They haven't announced their starters for 3, 4, and 5. The Red Sox have. The Red Sox have Lester and Lackey going 1, 2, respectively. Buchholz going 3. TV going 4. And it looks like they're going to wrap back around to Lester should this thing go 5. Just from a pure pitching standpoint, the Rays in recent years, you know, they always seem to find good young pitching, things like that, that, you know, all these teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees covet, but they seem to bring it up through their farm system. Just looking at pitching, who do you think has the advantage in this series?
Trying to figure that out. I think from a closer standpoint, the Red Sox have the advantage, and I think they have the bullpen advantage. I do think that starting pitching, I mean, after seeing Cobb last night, I think at least for three guys, Tampa can match the Red Sox arm for arm. Now, those are three guys. Red Sox supposedly have 4, maybe 5. But unless those 4 and 5 help out in the bullpen, nothing's going to get accomplished. I mean, I think that's where the Red Sox advantage is. And Uehara. And maybe Breslow. But some of those other guys have been a little shaky.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, for my money, I think if you're Boston, you gotta go. You gotta take long at bats. You gotta make these pitchers throw, make these starters go. Try to get into that Tampa bullpen. Try to test their depth, so to speak, in amongst their pitching ranks, and see if maybe you can outlast them a little bit. I just feel like Boston is deeper than most people think this year.
that's a great strategy. You're probably right, and it is really about all, you know, breaking them down, looking at strategy, who's going to run. I mean, Ellsbury, the Red Sox have been great at stealing bases. You know, they've got depth at places they haven't had depth before. So, Matt Moore, David Price, Cobb, those are two pretty good pitchers. I mean, granted, the Indians don't have a lot. They had their opportunities last night. They just could not get the big hit when they needed it.
Yeah, no, most definitely.
I don't know,
some
like
other things.
Jackie Bradley's probably not going to make the team, right?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine on that. I wouldn't think so. But
no, I don't think so. They got a lot of outfielders.
Yeah.
I don't know that Duke Brown or Thornton.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here, but we will see.
Yeah.
And you know, Drew going to play shortstop against the left-handed pitcher? Probably.
And these postseason adjustments are always fun. You look at the Braves. Dan Uggla doesn't even make the postseason roster for them. He's the highest paid guy on the roster. So some interesting moves will be made this postseason. And wanted to mention one other thing with the Rays. They've now looking at it. They've won 9 straight games against teams over 500. So not only are they hot, not only are they winning games, they're beating quality teams right now. There's no soft losses on their recent schedule in their last 10. So this is a team peaking at the right time. So a little bit of a scary proposition for Boston.
Well, Joe, they know how to do it. You know, this is what they do. They know how to do it. And this new system, I mean, think about it. Where's the last regular season game you played? Was it at home? Well, or Yankee Stadium. I'm not sure where it was. Or Baltimore. I know it was at Yankee Stadium. Or Toronto. I don't know. No, it was probably Toronto. And then they've gone from there to Texas. And then they had Texas. They had a day off between those two games. And then they had another day off to get to Cleveland. And they went to Cleveland last night, and they have another day off. And now they're in Boston. So they're crisscrossing the country, days off in between. And like I said, you know, why go home when you have nobody there waiting for you?
Yeah.
Feel free to tweet that if you want to. Why go? There's the line of the day. Why go home if there's nobody there waiting for you? I might tweet that, but feel free to go ahead and use this.
You should. It's all yours, Bob. But yeah, you mentioned it. I'm trying to think how many they've played consecutively on the road. You mentioned Yankee Stadium. They played a 3-game series. They played 3 against the Blue Jays, and then they had the tiebreaker game against the Rangers, which was odd. So they've gone the long way, and they haven't been home in a while. I think their last home game was maybe the 22nd or 23rd against Baltimore, somewhere along those lines. Yeah, the 23rd against Baltimore they won, and kind of set up this long road trip to Yankee Stadium. And boy, why do you want to go home if no one's waiting for you? I'm curious to see what the trop's going to be like when the series goes back there and things like that. You know, playoff baseball is a different animal. They don't bring in people regularly. Part of it is we always blame Florida fans for just not caring. They've got other things to care about. But that stadium, like I said, isn't in Tampa proper. It's kind of out of the way. But then again, you know, that doesn't stop people from going to Foxborough down here, going to the Patriots game. So, you can make whatever excuses you want. Beyond this series, I'm curious to see what happens next for the Rays. Every year they threaten to cut salary and cut prospects and cut costs and all those kinds of things, kind of trying to threaten the fans into coming out to the ballpark. But it'd be awfully hard to see them doing that if, you know, every playoff game's a sellout, maybe they go deep into the playoffs here. But these are obviously two franchises in pretty much totally different states right now, because as soon as the Red Sox gave people hope, they started selling out again, no problem. But I don't know. That's just going to be very, very interesting to me. Bob, before we go, I wanted to touch on the Patriots a little bit. And I don't know, did you get to see the game in Atlanta the other night? Pretty solid, impressive performance for the Patriots.
Yeah. For something that was supposed to be a test and supposed to be, perhaps an out-of-conference loss. Atlanta looked pretty bad. I thought that I was shocked at how poorly Ryan played. And you know, how well that Patriots seem to stitch things together. Edelman's a tough guy, and I don't know where the hell Mulligan came from, but here he is, the University of Maine. Really,
yeah.
Mulligan, my man.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to play that position, so you knew eventually somebody was going to.
That's true, right, that's true. So, I mean, Cincinnati, actually, you know, why would you make Cincinnati your favorite in Cincinnati? I don't know, because they're coming off a loss for them at the Browns? I don't know. I think the Patriots should handle them without a whole lot of problems.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of kicking and screaming about the Patriots right now. Because the Red Sox are front and center.
Yeah, in Boston, and I think nationally, you know, I don't know if – I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an undefeated team at this point in the country that – weird, you know, people always complain the Patriots get too much press nationally. We're not really talking about them. You know, we're talking about the Broncos and Peyton Manning, and obviously he's had a miraculous season. But, you know, what the Patriots are doing right now with that – what I'm calling the no-name offense that Brady and his,
right.
and his cast of characters is – you know, to go into Atlanta and win that game. Now, I think Cincinnati is going to be a pretty big test. I think the Bengals need this win. They haven't played particularly well since they beat the Steelers. You know, I really think Cincinnati is going to be hungry. I think they've got the best defense New England's faced so far. They've got a front that can probably pressure Brady without blitzing, which is obviously key because Brady kills the blitz. He's too smart and too quick. But you know, I'm torn about this one. I don't know who's going to come away. It's going to depend on. Can Aqib Talib keep playing at that high of a level? I mean, he was unbelievable against Atlanta. You know, without Vince Wilfork, though, can Aqib Talib, you know, is he going to run with A.J. Green all day and, you know, one of the best receivers in the league? Right now, without Vince Wilfork, I just don't know how much I trust that Patriots defense. So, oddly enough, right now, I'm questioning the defense. I'm kind of trusting Peyton and Tom Brady here to kind of make something out of nothing with that offense, but... it's going to be an interesting game to see, and, you know, another test for the Patriots. I think another week we'll know a heck of a lot more about
them. But it's a lot more important than the Atlanta game because it's a conference game.
Yeah.
So you're kind of the voice of doom here, but I don't agree with it. I really don't. So you think I'm back and say I told you so. What was that tweet I was going to say? Why go home if no one's there waiting for you? Perfect.
No one's there waiting
for you. Hashtag Tampa.
Yeah.
Look for it. That's what I'm going to deal with.
I'll definitely be on the lookout, Bob. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. Cautious optimism
is exactly what you are today.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
All right. Good.
All right, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Have a good weekend. The whole world sports landscape could be totally changed by this time next week. Well, as a matter of fact, it will be. So there.
Yeah, it most certainly will be. And thank you, everyone at home, for joining us. This has been Catching Up with Bob LaBelle. We'll see you next week, everybody.